Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Custom Turf by Evergreen FS. FS Custom Turf offers complete lawn and tree care services to preserve the health of yards, trees, and shrubs. Products and services detailed at evergreen-fs.com.
The Great Plains Shelter Project of the 1930s was a massive government undertaking designed to help the Plains states recover from the devastation of the Dust Bowl. On today's episode of WGLT's gardening podcast, Grow, our resident expert Patrick Murphy tells us more about the Great Wall of Trees. He's with the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. Patrick, good to see you.
Glad to be with you.
So how would you like to kick this off? I hear you have someone special that you were thinking of.
Yeah, I would like to dedicate this episode to some dear friends of mine, Bob and Lois. And they are a couple that originate from the Red River Valley of South Dakota. And Bob shared his stories of this great campaign and what he witnessed. And I was compelled by that, so that's why I asked you if we could talk about the shelter belt.
Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about the Dust Bowl and the kinds of conditions it created that made something like the shelter belt necessary?
Well, the Dust Bowl is something that happened around and after the Great Depression, and the conditions that were produced by the Dust Bowl were conditions that looked like ruin, sandstorms and drought, wastelands where plants could no longer grow, so you couldn't live there, you couldn't graze or raise livestock there. It was a bad situation.
It was so bad. I read something about farmers actually being choked to death by dust.
You know, what I've heard is that people's homes, they soaked the curtains and the linens in kerosene to prevent the dust from going through them. So then there was also lanterns that they used to light at night. So they had the fire around these kerosene-soaked fabric curtains and blankets in their homes, and you could see how that would be a hazard as well.
So how did the shelter belt, how did this idea come to be?
So after the Dust Bowl and prior to the war boom of the 1940s, the Great Plains Shelter Project was undertaken by the federal government, and the president at the time was FDR. And the ravages of the Dust Bowl to the land through wind and drought stress brought about the project. And initially, FDR imagined a single solid wall of trees several miles wide running from the Canadian border down to the Texas Panhandle. FDR took some of the advice from the U.S. Forestry Service to plant a series of walls that overlapped each other rather than a single band of trees. But the work was done by the Civilian Conservation Corps. Bob referred to these as the Tree Army, and they had the hard work of clearing the land, planting, transplanting, staking, and watering several million trees, and Oklahoma is where it all started. And then after the kickoff in Oklahoma, the tree plantings were conducted from north central Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, and the Dakotas, all the way to the U.S. border with Canada.
So really a massive undertaking. What did Roosevelt hope to accomplish with the shelter belt?
They were looking to improve the soil conditions by the reduction of moisture loss and to improve wildlife conditions through soil fertility. They did that by also picking trees with specific heights. The depths of the rows along with the tree types were planted to protect the soil and foster the good conditions for farm operation and wildlife preservation.
And what types of trees did they plant?
This part I find interesting because this list of trees was the cutting edge at the time because of limited supplies, but they planted Virginia red cedar, green ash, eastern cottonwood, box elder, Chinese elm, bur oak, black walnut, and willow primarily. There were probably others here and there, but that was what was available through production at the time. And out of that whole list, Sarah, there's only one bur oak that's in a list of what we'd call otherwise desirable trees, because the rest of these trees all have some kind of baggage.
All right, and why were these particular kinds of trees chosen?
Most of these trees are native and part of a rather short list of trees that grow well in troubled settings, like in the shelter belt. So the Austrian pine, the Chinese elm, and the willow, they are adaptable trees that are found growing naturally in regions outside of the shelter belt. Today, all three of these trees have a declining representation in this and many other areas, even here in central Illinois.
So they might have been an effective part of the shelter belt back then, but you say that these particular trees might not be the best for landscaping. Why is that?
A lot of these trees have difficulties, and they're a liability to other things in the landscape. So the Austrian pines, are mostly gone. They're susceptible to several diseases that take the tree quickly after infection. So even more of a setback is created when you have rows of Austrian pines planted, then the disease can spread like wildfire. Austrian pines today in the Midwest and all over the central part of the United States, where they are part of an old fashionable trend, they are now in decline. They're being cut down and standing dead all over the place. And I'd like to say that there's an Austrian pine here on the ISU quad that's part of the Fell Arboretum, and it is likely old enough to have been planted at the time the shelter belt program was being conducted. And it's an unusual specimen of Austrian pine because it's quite large, and it has remained disease-free despite being surrounded by Austrian pines that have fallen to the disease.
So today, the shelter belt is under threat. This is partly from humans and partly from nature. What are some of the natural threats faced by these trees?
Well, the green ash that was on the list, it has come under attack from the emerald ash borer in the last, say, 12 to 15 years. That's an invasive insect from China. The emerald ash borer has spread a great deal because of wind vortex and natural habitats that lead to this insect spreading easily.
And what are some of the threats they face from humans?
Unfortunately, some of the shelter belts were cut down early in the life of the trees to allow for more acres, to more plot cultivation. And that's a kind of a short-sighted gain that was pursued with little regard for the future, where the trees were cut down and burned, and in some cases kind of reinitiated some of the circumstances that they were there to mitigate. But many shelter belts and their remnants still stand, while some are actively being removed. And they're large, these are large trees now, and they're again being removed with the goal of increasing plot acreage. But there are some cases where they're removing the shelter belt trees and they're putting up better trees to replace them.
That's good to hear. I do have to tell you, I went to the pumpkin farm with my child on that day that it was 40 mile per hour wind gusts.
Oh.
And I was praying for a shelter belt. There was none to be found.
It's amazing how much force the wind has when it's unobstructed.
It makes you think, you know, what kind of conditions those would have been with just absolutely nothing to stand in the way of that wind.
And in a lot of parts of the plains, it's the soil is more coarse than it is here. So it's like a sand grain blowing in the air versus dust here in central Illinois. So yeah, it would be intense.
And that brings us to our next point. What do we stand to lose with the degradation of these shelter belts?
Well, the shelter belts were successful in improving the soil conditions and reducing the moisture loss and promoting wildlife. Everything that they set out to do happened. So that's a good thing. It's unfortunate that there were cases where they went right back to the practice that created, in part, created the Dust Bowl, and that was removing all the vegetation to make for bigger plots. So there's still a little bit of that going on, but I believe that landowners and farmers now know a lot more today based on the lessons of yesterday.
And you say that the practices that we did develop yesterday in response to the Dust Bowl could be useful in the aftermath of some present-day natural disasters, namely wildfires.
Yeah, I do think that. And the whole time that I was learning about this and listening to Bob's stories, I was thinking about the wildfires out west. And this year they've went all the way to western Colorado. What is known today about the shelter belt program and reforesting can be practiced today as part of the solution for reforesting the wildfire damaged parts of the West. So hopefully the lessons learned will be observed when planning for the repair of the fires out West. And today there's still a shortage of trees, but I'm confident that the industry has the potential to produce the stock that's needed to replant from the fires. But there's definitely need to have a conversation about what do we do after all these fires.
If you have any questions or comments about the Shelter Belt Project or anything in the garden or landscape, get in touch and Patrick Murphy of ISU's School of Biological Science will answer. I'm Sarah Nardi. Send in your questions to wglt.org/grow.